Never look at your shit town or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be. It needn't change your radio preferences. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, BTR that is. You can watch us live and by archive on our YouTube channel. Folks, we've got it right there. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found on home base at HagmanandHagman.com. And folks, don't forget, we've got two websites. We've got HagmanandHagman.com, which is our show page, and then show prep, HagmanReport.com. Check out the HagmanReport.com tonight. There's a great 7.5-minute video I put up. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, it's on his channel. But it's about the SCOTUS ruling in Obergefell. You gotta check it out. You gotta understand the five bipolar, bribed, blasphemous judges that made this ruling on Obergefell versus a previous ruling 2 years prior. Now it's 2 years prior. It's a very interesting 7.5 minutes, critical for understanding it's so critical to understand with respect to the Obergefell decision. And I've got to tell you, the civics lesson of this, of that 7.5 minute video is extremely important, but it's not dry. It makes you wonder, these five judges, what happened to these five judges in 24 months, roughly 24 months. Bribed or bipolar? That's my question. Because they did a complete 180 with respect to the homosexual agenda. What happened? And that's a serious question. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator, researcher. My son, Joe Hagman, together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We've got a great show for you lined up tonight. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm not going to give out any personal information here, but thank you to Amy F., Amy and Doug from Texas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support. John E., James H., Eve, Chris A., Libby, James S. from Grass Valley, California. Leanne, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Amy F. and Doug from Texas, thank you so much. Thank you for supporting our efforts.
Couldn't do it without you.
No, you know, Joe, it's...
Whoops. See, I know why you gave me this magnet.
No.
Or this thing.
He's breaking stuff over here.
This magnet falls out of See, we got these awesome 3D printed logos. This one is of me and my dad. The other one's of King. And on the back, you see how it's fastened with magnets. Well, every time I stick it to the mic stand
we'll fix that. The magnet comes out. Yeah, I know. We'll fix that. That's not really a problem. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone, portions of the nice broadcast brought to you by Holtones, holtoneslive.com. What a great company, holtoneslive.com. If you haven't visited holtoneslive.com, folks, go to their website. Check them out, holtoneslive.com. More on that later. Also, I want to just announce our grand opening for the Hagman Report Store. Grand opening for the HagmanReportStore.com. HagmanReportStore.com. Now, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to go to the HagmanReportStore.com. You got to read the product descriptions. Really, you do. We've got products. Now, the store, we've got more in store for you. Haha, pun intended. But the products that we are... Well, here's what we're doing. We have gone through a process of selecting various products, such as we've got a backpack on there. Joe, you field tested the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a 17-inch. It's a backpack that holds a 17-inch computer. You have to read basically what we've done with that. Well, of course, we have our shirts and.
And I gotta say
the backpack is, I have a
similar backpack that my wife got me, maybe 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And last time we were at Best Buy together, maybe about a month or so ago, they still had it up there for $159, I believe.
It was ridiculous.
And this backpack has all the same, amount of pockets and zippers and, I mean, basically the same as this one.
That's right.
And it's cheaper, so.
Well, it's less expensive. Cheaper implies quality. No, this is a great price.
Yeah.
And what we did was we are fashioning a marketplace that's separate, but we are also fashioning the store to provide you with products like the Beacon. For example, the Beacon you put on. Every car should have one of these. I'm going to tell you right now because... this sends out a Hagman and Hagman bat signal into the clouds. Well, not really, but it could.
And not to interrupt you about the Beacon, the backpack also has an RFID blocker in there. So people, if you don't have the
documents.
Block it, if you don't have the block in pocket, you can put, USB devices in there, cell phones and other things, your credit cards that you would like protected from RFID readers.
Now, the picture of the backpack that you're looking at right now, lady is not included. Don't even go there. Don't go there. She's not included. But we are putting together some things that we believe are not just fashionable, not just for utility. I mean, not just fashionable and make you look cool or engage with like-minded people, but such things as our 20-ounce drink conveyance. That's right. Well, you can put Italian coffee in there. You could put a purple stick in there. I'm going to tell you. But you got to read the product descriptions. You got to read them. The reason is there are some that are super secret that give you some.
I love the size of the cup.
Oh, yeah.
So many times, coffee cups are what? Hold 8 to 10 ounces, 12 ounces maybe of coffee. This is an awesome mug, 20 ounces.
20 ounces
a large coffee for most, or venti.
Most coffee. I don't want to really, hone in on our time with from our guests, but I got to just tell you this. And Joe and Eric can attest to this, okay? I obsessed over, for example, coffee mug. I needed samples like from 5 different places, okay? And everything we have is either made in the USA or the Beacon is not made in the USA. However, that's the exception, but it's distributed by USA businesses. Okay. So, but anyway, like for example, I obsessed over a coffee mug because I know, I mean,
I mean, he locked himself in a room for a week with the set of coffee mugs.
And the shipping and such. And ask Megan Hopp from a Safeguard Midwest. Folks, let me tell you, we are supplied. All of our materials sourced by Brad and Megan Hopp from Safeguard Midwest. You want to... Boy, send her a sympathy card, because dealing with me, I'm going to tell you, they need a big medal because of all the run through, you know, products that we said, no, this is not good enough. Oh, the logo is just off by a tad. Oh, well, no, we can't have this. We have to do this or that way. Really, I put them through hoops. But if you want to deal with a great business, whether it's business cards or whatever your needs are, business needs are, Safeguard Midwest, and the link is up on HagmanandHagman.com. They are our go-to company. But anyway, I just want to mention that HagmanReportStore.com is now open, and we are inaugurating HagmanReportStore.com with the appearance tonight of Mr. Greg Jackson. And speaking of quality, let me tell you something, guys and ladies. Greg Jackson's having a book, or his book is going to be coming out, new book, and it's absolutely fabulous. 40 Manners and Rules of Etiquette You Need to Teach Your Sons by Greg Jackson. Got the cliff notes right here. I'm not going to show them to you. I read these and I'm thinking, you know, I wish I would have thought of this. I wish seriously, this is a favorite of mine. This man has got character, integrity, and he's brilliant. That's Greg Jackson. GregJackson.com, G-R-E-G-G, two G's, GregJackson.com. That's where you go for this man, for the writings, musings of Greg Jackson. Important stuff, and he's got a lot to say. So I'm going to shut up and let him say.
Yes, he does. We had the opportunity to meet Greg in person in Dallas this last March, and that was awesome to finally be able to meet him in person and to spend some time with him. And I think he's been on our show once since then. Maybe I could be wrong on that, but regardless,
by the way, Greg Jackson, do you notice how ripped he is?
No.
I mean, look, if I take my shirt off, I'd look just like Greg, okay? I'm not kidding, man. Okay, I don't know if this guy lifts some Volkswagens, if he benches VWs, you know? I don't know. But, you know, he gave me a hug. I think he broke three of my ribs, shook my hand. I'm still trying to regain feeling. The guy's ripped, and you know, he's got a wonderful dog, Gunner, wonderful son, family man.
Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report, Greg.
Well, good to be on with you guys. I appreciate it. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And Doug, I'm sorry if I crushed your ribs. I was just so happy to see you. It was our first meeting in person.
That's all right, man. Hey,
I was jacked.
Hey. Wow, you know, let me tell you, you're a well-built guy in terms of your muscles and your tone, and you've got the intellect to match your outward appearance.
My wife is a good cook. What can I tell you? She keeps me healthy.
Wow.
She's a fantastic cook. But yeah, no, I do. I'm pushing 50. Turning 48 at the end of this month, May 29th, John F. Kennedy's birthday, and you know, I'm getting up there, so I gotta try to stay young, try to stay healthy, stay around as long as I can. You know what I mean?
You look about 29. Seriously, in person, you look about 29, and you look like you can kick everyone's butt. But
I'll tell you what, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you guys in Dallas, and I think I have been on a couple times since then, but it was fantastic being with you guys, and like I said, this here the Watchman conference that we had in Dallas, you know, for those of you who weren't there, what did you guys think? I thought it was like a family reunion, of a lot of people who had never met one another, but we're all part of the family of God, and we all got a chance to spend a really, really special weekend. I was bummed Sunday afternoon when I had to go back home.
I wanted to hang out more.
Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to hang out as much.
And we apologize because we apologize to everyone we couldn't spend time with. It was almost as if, I don't know, Joe and I, we were there beforehand for some business that we had to take care of. Not connected with that, but, from Friday morning to Sunday, it was just like a blur, buddy. And,
yeah, we were real busy there. We had a lot of stuff going on, doing interviews behind the scenes. We had a dinner that was raffled off, a dinner with us, which is scary. People paid to sit down and have dinner with us.
I actually wanted to, I thought maybe we should have, I misunderstood. I thought we should have paid them, but anyway.
But we got a lot to talk about tonight, Greg. You had a conversation with my dad earlier today, and you and me talked this afternoon. And I had a great discussion about tonight and the show and the content. So I'm going to turn it over to you. And I know you want to talk about a number of things, the 2016 presidential election, Donald Trump being just a few.
Greg admitted to me on the phone that he's voting for Bernie Sanders. And if Bernie Sanders is not on the ticket, it's going to be Hillary Rodham, Diane Rodham Clinton, the Guccifer, Lucifer, the Democratic. Wrong person, right?
You know, we live in a pretty we live in Denver, and it's a pretty blue state, and we live in a neighborhood that we do have a lot of more traditional conservative type people that live around us. But just to mess with them, I was actually thinking, I was talking to my wife the other day about getting a Bernie yard sign and popping it on the front lawn, just to see how the neighbors react. You guys think I should do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, just for kicks?
Better yet.
Keep
better
on
yet.
Toes.
Here's what you should do is, and I've done this, Greg. I've got a neighbor friend, and what I did one morning before the sun came up is I put a for sale by owner sign in front and put it in his lawn with an arrow towards his house, not ours. Okay, and then I do things like, you know, put Sanders or Clinton signs. Absolutely, you should put it in their lawn. Yeah, that might be.
How did we get to the point in American history where a man who spent his honeymoon in the Soviet Union is one of the favorites of the generation Y or X? I don't even know what they're called. The millennial generation. I mean, seriously, I mean, think about how low this country has, not to start things off on too much of a negative footing here, but I mean, we have a woman that is, by all estimates is clinically insane. I mean, Hillary Clinton, we all know, belongs behind bars, and she's clinically insane. You just look at her, and she looks like a raving lunatic. And then we have a man who is an admitted communist. I mean, like I said, he spent his honeymoon in the Soviet Union, and you know, he's got the clenched fist of Lenin.
Was that during the Bolshevik? That was previous to the Bolshevik Revolution, I think. Given his age, pre 1917.
I think it could have been, yeah. I mean, I think he's 80, 85, pushing 90. So that could have been. But the fact of the matter is, it's like I, you know, walking my dog Gunner the other day and just walking through the neighborhood and seeing all these ready for Hillary, ready for Bernie, all these signs. And I'm thinking, where did my country go? I mean, how in one generation do we go from Ronald Reagan to Bernie Sanders?
Ritalin addicted millennial, sniveling, snot nosed, know everything, spoiled little Ritalin addicted millennials. That's how. Did I say Ritalin addicted, snot nosed millennials?
I think it was more of a rhetorical question. I mean, we know when you take God out of a society, you become a godless nation, and the government becomes God, And that's really, I mean, that's what Bernie Sanders represents. That's what Hillary Clinton represents, bigger government, global institutions. And so that's unfortunately what our kids have been taught for the past generation or two, which is that government is God. And they've all been indoctrinated with this collectivist hive mind mentality mindset. And, you know, and the Republican side, it's really not that different. I mean, these are guys, you know, the one good thing, and I know we're going to talk about Donald Trump, because I think that his candidacy is so interesting for a number of reasons. You know, but not the least of which is that aren't we seeing now the true nature of those in the Republican Party who claim to be conservative and hold to Christian values and so on and so forth? My goodness, they have more disdain. People like Paul Ryan and Bonner, whatever his name is, and the Bushes, and all of these people who say that never Trump, you know, the hashtag never Trump gang. I mean, I've never heard so much hatred and vitriol and disdain for any politician in my lifetime than I've heard from the Republicans, who for 8 years they were silent about funding Obamacare, abortion on demand, gays in the military, you know, the feminization of the military, all the LGBTQYX funding and mandates. I mean, literally just with Republican majorities in the House and Senate continuing year after year to fund, you know, Obamacare and all of the radical left-wing you know, pieces of legislation, you know, very, very little opposition to the, you know, the elephant in the room, which is the fact that, well, we have someone who's occupied the White House who possesses the same birth certificate number as a dead man in Connecticut. I'm sure your listeners know that his Social Security number, our president's Social Security number, is a number of a dead man in Connecticut. And so while Obama is saying we need to know more about Trump's records, didn't he come out with that yesterday? He said we need to look into Trump's records. Wasn't that the thing last yesterday?
I didn't see that. Greg, though, just a quick side note. If you could back off the mic just a touch. You're coming in real hot.
Got it.
on the
How's
satellite.
This? Better?
Yeah, much better.
Better.
Much
I got
better.
This fancy headset. So, but
I did not see that report. No.
Apparently, he's saying that we need to know more about Trump's records and so on and so forth. This coming from the same guy who's had his college records sealed, who posted a fake birth certificate on the White House website, and again, who has the Social Security number of a dead man in Connecticut. And so the Republicans, you know, with all of the illegal actions taken by the imposter in the White House over the last 8 years, the Republicans essentially sat by and did nothing, right? And now when there's a Republican, by the way, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump stands for or says, but here's finally somebody who says he's going to totally overturn Obamacare. He's not going to fund Planned Parenthood like Paul Ryan has done every year, and the Republicans to the tune of $500 million per year. The Republicans haven't looked into the selling of the baby body parts still yet from Planned Parenthood. That just kind of went away. And so they do nothing about Trump. They virtually let him have full reign as he destroys our country, leaves the borders wide open. And then you get a guy come in and basically expose them for who they are, which we all know the Republicans and Democrats, with very few exceptions, are two wings of the same bird. And so that's why that's the one of the major reasons why I think that people, Republicans have utter disdain for Donald Trump. And I think that Trump is really exposing that the GOP and the Democrats are essentially two wings of the same bird. And he's exposing their corruption and their rot. It's all coming out right now. So, you know, whether he gets elected or not, the one good thing from his candidacy is that he's at least revealing a lot of these people for who they really are and what they truly believe. And the fact of the matter is they hate Donald Trump more than they hate Barack Obama. And that says something to me.
You know, you hit that right on the head. You hit that right on the head. You're absolutely right. When you've got this much vitriol against one person, now, folks, look, and Greg said something to me today, and I was trying to articulate or be able to articulate my position on the elections. Because, Greg, you said something earlier, and I guess this kind of sums it up. Not one of the candidates on either side, the viable candidates here that we all know of, the Trump on the Trump and Cruz, we'll just kind of say we'll keep Cruz in there just for a moment, and even throw in Jeb Bush, it doesn't matter. And on the right, on the left, Sanders and Hillary, not one shows the need or inclination or proclivity for repentance, for acknowledging God, for acknowledging that this country has got a moral and spiritual problem. Not one. And that goes for Donald Trump.
Yeah,
we can make America great again. But what about, what about the abortion mills? What about this homosexual sodomite sewage pit that we're living in? What about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Trump, obviously, so what's Trump's appeal? Well, he reflects the overwhelming anti-government sentiment, right? The anti-establishment sentiment. I think Congress has, what, an 8% approval rating? So I think that his candidacy, people are so excited, and evangelical Christians included, by the way, even though, Cruz and a lot of the other Republicans say, oh, yeah, it's independents and Democrats, and he doesn't have much support among Christians. Well, if you look at South Carolina, he actually won the evangelical vote, and it polls very, very highly among self-described, self-professing evangelical Christians. So the question is why? Why are people so excited about this guy? Well, for me, let me just give you my personal take, and one of the things that I love about the guy is that he doesn't have to go to an advisor to tell him what to say. Granted, he probably needs to have more of a filter on some of the things that he says, but the bottom line is he's not politically correct. He says what he believes. He doesn't mince words. He's masculine. He's authoritative when he speaks, and he's not some limp-wristed, empty suit that is a career politician. He's actually been in the private sector. He actually knows what it's like to create jobs, to create opportunities for others, to employ others. And so I think a lot of people love the fact that finally there's a man in the United States of America who's not an empty suit, tell the people,
Greg,
what they want to hear. Yeah.
You're exactly right. See, his appeal is the fact that he is an alpha male. And this generation, okay, we have been castrated. How many alpha males are out there? We, the men in America, are limp-wristed wusses that have been chemically castrated or brainwashed or socially engineered into believing that they are led to question their sexuality, led to question everything about themselves, but brainwashed or programmed. But, the appeal there with Trump, number one, it's refreshing because he's not talking the old Republican establishment line. That's right. He's going to say things that people want to hear, whether or not it's genuine or not is up to your perception but whatever. But the fact of the matter is, he's an alpha male. He appeals to the women who are not the lesbians of the bunches, or not the, I don't know what you'd call it, but you're right.
Radical feminists.
Thank you. I was thinking something else, but I like your phrase for radio better. Go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I did.
No worries. No, but I think that's what a lot of people, they find it refreshing. They're sick and tired of, they can see clearly now, or I think most Americans are waking up to the fact that these both parties are one and the same. Two wings of the same bird flying in the same New World Order, globalist direction, looking to put the final nails of the coffin in America and to push us into world government. And Trump has exposed a lot of these factions for what they truly are. And unfortunately, he's exposing, I think, the heart of the church as well. I mean, if you think about it, I'm talking about religious right leaders, people like the head of the Southern Baptist Religious Liberty and Ethics Organization. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He came out yesterday with a scathing attack on Russell Moore, Dr. Russell Moore. I don't know if you guys heard this story, but he basically came out with a pretty scathing attack on Trump. And he's all upset with Liberty University and Jerry Falwell Jr. for endorsing Trump. And so, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier. He's, I think, exposing a lot of, you know, I mean, where was Russell Moore for the past 8 years when Obama was fully funding abortion on demand via Obamacare? Where was Russell Moore and the other religious right leaders when Barack Obama was pushing this radical homosexual agenda in America and the Republicans were signing off on it? Where were the church leaders? Where were, to give you a recent example, where was Russell Moore during the recent target policy that allows grown men to pee and poop right alongside five-year-old girls in their bathrooms? Where were the religious leaders then? I wonder how many churches actually talked about Target's policy and told their congregants, don't go to Target. And so I think what it reveals is that a lot of people on the religious right leaders, we chronicled some of them in a book I wrote a couple years back, We Won't Get Fooled Again, that are more concerned about getting a seat at the Republican table than they are about standing up for biblical values. And so what Trump is exposing, I believe, to a large degree, is the rot and corruption among many of those, not all. I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush. I'm not saying everybody in the body of Christ, but a lot of major denominational leaders are really globalists. I mean, Russell Moore, who's the head of the Southern Baptist Religious Ethics and Liberty Organization, which is one of the largest denomination in the United States of America, he's for open borders. He's for amnesty. He's praising the Pope. He's an ecumenical leader, quote unquote evangelical leader. And so what we're seeing now, what Trump is exposing, I believe, is that corruption and that rot that we've always known was there, but now it's coming to the forefront. It's coming to the surface. And now Americans are seeing very clearly where people really stand on these issues. Don't you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Did I lose it? You know,
no.
But you just said something, Doug, that I think is very, very relevant and very important about Trump. which is, on the other side, what is Donald Trump talking about? What are his major campaign platform, planks of his platform? Well, every speech he talks about, he wants to build a wall, right? He wants to build a wall, and that's his biggest applause line. I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build it bigger than, I'm going to build it. I've built many walls. We're going to build a wall, and people are excited. Now, rightly so. People want our immigration policies enforced. People want their don't want Muslims coming across the border, when we know that it's not just Mexicans looking for better opportunities in the United States. We're talking about drug dealers. We're talking about violent criminal offenders that have been deported and then let back in the country, that are committing crimes, that are killing Americans. We're talking about Muslims that have taken on Hispanic names, that have come across the border, that are setting up Islamic terrorist cells here in the United States, which has been fully documented. And so, of course I'm for a wall. Of course I'm for our immigration policies being enforced. Of course I'm for a temporary abeyance or suspension of Muslims coming into this country. Of course that appeals to somebody like me. But the problem is, as you rightly stated, Doug, that Donald Trump is talking about the symptoms of the problem and not the underlying problem itself, which Steve Quayle and Pastor Lankford touched upon yesterday, which is that, unfortunately, our main problems are moral and spiritual. Now, people say, oh, Greg, this guy's running for president. He's not running for a priest. Well, true. But the primary duty of the commander-in-chief of the United States of America is to enforce the God-given rights of Americans and to acknowledge that governments are instituted among men to protect and defend God-given rights. So the things that Trump aren't talking about, to me, are more important than what he's talking about, because he's not going to the heart of the matter. What the president should, or anybody running for president, should be talking about is the fact that in the United States of America right now, we are on death's doorstep. We are on a ventilator. We have a code blue moral and spiritual crisis in this country, and our days are numbered. We are on life support. And that the only hope for this country is a restoration and return to the one true God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, who made this country great. He is our only hope. And that's, of course, I've never heard Donald Trump talk about that, and rightly so. I don't think Donald Trump is a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. I don't believe he's saved. I'm praying that he would be. Can God work through him? Certainly, I believe he is. But the fact of the matter is that we had a candidate by the name of Mike Huckabee who, unfortunately, was only at like single digits. He's the only candidate, John, who is talking about the most important thing that any government should be.
Greg, you're coming in and out.
Do you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last two sentences were very fragmented.
Yeah, something happened there, buddy. I'm not sure if it's a wireless headset. Something interfered there. Okay, still silence there. If you can hear me, if you can hear us, still silence.
Better?
Yeah, there we
better?
Go. Yeah, don't okay. Move.
I won't move. So, right. Listen, when Huckabee was running for president, what was the one thing that he pledged to do as his first official act as president of the United States? Do you guys remember?
Yeah, the shutting down of abortion, of the abortion clinics, and the practice of abortion.
Mike Huckabee pledged as his first official act as President of the United States that he would enforce the 5th and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution, which guarantee the God-given right to life, equal protection of the laws, and due process of the laws for all innocent human persons. which of course includes babies in the womb. Of course they are persons. Even Hillary Clinton acknowledged that about a month ago. Right? Mm-hmm. So we had an opportunity to get behind, and I'm not saying that everything that Mike Huckabee stood for or advocated I agree with, but on the major issues, he recognized the fact that we have allowed 60 million babies to be murdered in their mother's womb since 1973, and that we have an abortion holocaust in this country. And he properly recognized and acknowledged the fact that no rights could be secure unless the God-given right to life be restored. And that as president, if any individual state failed to enforce the God-given right and to close down the abortuaries, that he as president would do so. That, I believe, is what a godly presidential candidate would put at the centerpiece of their campaign. Because it doesn't matter how high the wall is, Joe and Doug, that Donald Trump wants to build. It doesn't matter what type of tariffs he's going to impose on Chinese imports. Not that those things aren't important. Trade deals are important. But are they the main issue? No, because there's a hierarchy of issues. And I would say that restoring the God-given right to life is significantly more important than tax rates on corporations or tariffs on imports and trade deals. So Donald Trump is talking about building a higher wall, but what we need in this country is the type of wall that Nehemiah built around Israel, which was a wall of righteousness. Because only the construction of a wall of righteousness and rebuilding righteousness in America will save whatever is left of our country. And unfortunately, that's not what Donald Trump is talking about. So as much, and I might even pull the lever for Donald Trump, but the fact of the matter is he's not even talking about the major issues that plague this nation: the restoration of the right to life, the protection of the God-given, God-ordained, God-instituted natural human family. He's not talking about opposing unconstitutional, immoral, and illegal court opinions, opposing judicial supremacy. He's not talking about any of the major issues of the day. And in doing so, my fear is that people have a false hope when they think that Donald Trump is going to change everything in America. Now, if he's elected, might he do some good things? Yeah, maybe. Might he expose the rot of the establishment? Yeah, maybe. And those are all good things. Maybe he might even save some lives by ensuring that radical Islamists aren't crossing the border and coming in to do harm to America. But as good and noble as those things are, as Steve Quayle says, we don't have political problems. We have spiritual problems. I mean, we do have political problems and cultural problems, but the foundation, the most important problems that this country has, are moral and inherently spiritual. And unless the church, the body of Christ, changes, unless there's revival and restoration of the body of Christ, it doesn't matter who you put in the White House.
I agree. Greg, the moral and spiritual bankruptcy of the people in America and throughout the West, don't we need, and I've been really very introspective in attempting to grasp this. Certainly we need a strong leader that loves America. Now, when I say that, and I know words are important, I know I'm going to get emails about this, loves the idea of a free country in the manner in which it was intended, we'll say, at the Mayflower Compact. How's that, folks? Okay. Now, having said that, don't we need both a strong leader who has got a spiritual humility to him? I mean, that's important to me. However, isn't revival up to us Don't we? Isn't revival and that strong spiritual and moral integrity, isn't that from the bottom up as opposed to the top down?
Just yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, it absolutely is. That's why I don't spend too much time. I mean, Jim Willie, who he's an economist and investor. Some of your listeners might be familiar with him. He was on Rick Wild's show the other day, and Rick asked him what his thoughts were on the election, and he said, "I don't pay attention to third world country elections," which I thought was pretty insightful. And for a long, and if we're going to be honest with each other, we have to admit, if we look at the financial picture in our country, we're a third world nation. We're being held together by duct tape, EBT cards, the Federal Reserve printing money out of thin air, and it's all coming to an end. If we know the macroeconomic picture, we know that tough times financially are ahead, that I think is going to make the Great Depression look like the junior varsity team. I mean, it's going to be that massive for America when the dollar loses its status as the world's reserve currency and so on and so forth. And the reason I bring that up is because for a long time, Doug, I was, even as a young Christian, I came to faith in 2001. Jewish believer, came to faith right before 9/11. For some of your listeners who don't know my my background. But I was on the radio in Boston, but got a lot of my satisfaction from going head to head with liberals on the radio for 3 hours and thinking that I was so smart. And, you know, I hung around with the people like Ann Coulter and others and David Limbaugh and associated with a lot of those type of people that I met in the quote unquote conservative circles. And I was heavily invested in listening to Rush Limbaugh every day and Sean Hannity. And if George Bush didn't become president, you know, when he was running against John Kerry, I remember staying up all night long and thinking that, America's done if John Kerry's president or if Al Gore is president, and not knowing that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between either one of them, that they were all skull and bones, they were all part of the New World Order, that they were chums on the side. And you know, for many years I was involved, I was invested, Doug, just like you were before your epiphany, thinking that there was a difference. And so for me, who sat in the White House was of the utmost importance. And, you know, who sat in the Supreme Court, not that these things aren't important, but when you recognize that we have a sham two-party system, two wings of the same bird, we've been sold out, and that we've been played like chumps. When you get to that, when you understand that, then you can be free from living in the matrix, from being on either the red team or the blue team, Coke, Diet Coke, Yankees, Red Sox, whatever you want to call it. And what I've recognized is exactly what you just said, which is that once you're freed of that worship of politics, and once you see that it's just a sham, the whole Hegelian dialectic, the whole false right-left paradigm, and once you become free of that, you understand, wait a minute, America was, to quote de Tocqueville, was great because she was good. He recognized, the French philosopher de Tocqueville, in his travels in America in the 18th century, and he wrote about it, that America was great because she was good. He said, in all of my travels of the country, I recognize that America's greatness wasn't because of those in the halls of Congress, but it was because of her religious institutions, the church. And so you're exactly right, Doug, which is that to borrow, you know, Trump's tagline, make America great again. Well, America can't be made great again until she once again becomes good. Well, how do we become good? It starts individually. It starts in our families. It starts corporately in the church. And that's the only way that America can ever be great again, if America will ever be great again. And so that's why, you know, I wrote the book that for my son, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, because there are so many things that we can do as parents, for our, and even if we don't have children, for our loved ones to share God's word with them, to share the gospel with them. I think God is more concerned about the heart, the individual heart of the body of Christ, than who sits in the White House. And so, you know, I think that, you know, if America is going to be made right again, Christians will have to start caring more about how we're spending our time, how we're spending our money. Where are kids being taught? What type of churches do we go to? Are they teaching God's word? You know, these are just some of the things. What are our pastors teaching? Are we, you know, are we exposing our kids to 40 hours a week of humanist indoctrination in government schools that teach our kids to hate God and to think that there is no transcendent moral authority or truth? And so I think that we need to be more introspective and pay and look at ourselves before we go pointing the finger at Target, right? For it, why would we expect that Target wouldn't allow men to go in the women's room, Doug? And Joe? Why would we expect that a pagan organization like Target, okay, would have Christian biblical values? And the answer is we shouldn't expect that. The question is why? Why does Target allow men to go in the women's room now? Well, because it's just it's the fruit of, for a generation of two, of churches in the United States of America not teaching sound biblical doctrine. If the church, just as an example, had taught the there's a principle here, and there's a difference, because the church has taught for the last generation or two egalitarianism, that men and women are equal. And that's why you're seeing women pastors, when the Bible explicitly says that women are not to teach men. Now, can women teach women's Bible studies? Absolutely. Can they teach children? Absolutely. But the Bible does not teach egalitarianism. And what the Bible teaches is complementarianism, that men and women complement one another, that there are God-ordained roles. As Christ is the head of the church, so a man should be head of his wife. That's what the Bible says. If you have an issue with that, take it up with God, because that's what the scriptures say. And because the church, just as an example, has taught the touchy-feely humanist version of the Bible, that there's no difference between men and women, women can teach men, you know, for whatever reasons that the scriptures have been watered down and distorted and twisted, now it seeps out into the culture, right? Because we shouldn't be surprised in the least that pagan institutions or public schools that allow men to use the women's locker room do so. Why? Because the church has abnegated its primary duty to teach sound biblical doctrine. And of course, not all churches. But for the most part, when you look at the state of American Christianity and the quote-unquote evangelical church in the United States of America, we must admit that the problems, the main problems in our culture and in our society stem from the failure of the church to stand in the gap. Look at Dave Dobenmeyer, Coach Dave, America's coach. We all love him. He went to Target. You got the video up on your website. How many people joined Dave Dobenmeyer when he was at Target?
An astounding
people that were there with
nobody.
Him?
Yeah.
Well,
in the video,
was there and
not many, but I'll tell you, you know, since that video, over a million people had signed a petition boycotting Target, and the value of their stock dropped $2.5 billion. And that was in part due to what Coach Dave did and exposed through his video. Greg, we're coming up against the top of the hour
break.
Absolutely. folks, we're talking with Greg Jackson. His website is gregjackson.com. That's G-R-E-G-G. GregJackson.com, author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. He's got a new book coming out.
Yeah, folks, definitely check this book
40
out.
40 Manners and Rules of Etiquette You Need to Teach Your Sons by Greg Jackson. And this is the first time I'm looking at this here. But we have another hour with him. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Greg Jackson on this Tuesday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.